about it, but I've never heard a sermon on this topic and this topic alone. The subject we're going to be looking at this morning is eternity. Eternity. It's a long time. It's a very long time. As I pondered why the Lord had put this topic on my heart, I had to consider first the vastness of all eternity. Just about everything in life we're exposed to, we see a beginning and an end. Just about everything. Now think about it for a second. We see a beginning and an end in everything. Even, you know, we think about nature. We see a beginning and the end of everything. We make plans as though, as we move through the motions of an event, and we see the event come to pass, and we see the event is through. So we see all the processes of all the stages. We get into our cars and we drive down the road or on the highway, and sooner or later we'll come to, guess what, the end of the road. Even on 95, you get on 95 and you drive south, sooner or later, Keith, you're going to end up where? Key West, at the very end of I-95. As we look at even our lives, it seems that at certain points in our life, especially our childhood and teenage years, that time seemed to move so slow. Do y'all remember when you were teenagers and when you were children? Man, I wish I was 14. I wish I was 18. I wish I was, you know, you remember that? See, y'all still think time moves slow, don't you? Some of you. But do you remember when you got older, all you older adults? Remember when you got older? And man, I mean, it just seems like time just flies by the speed of light. Just certainly does. As I considered my life and the love that I have for every aspect of my life, I came to reflect on the ultimate fact of what James wrote in James 4:14. Look at James 4:14. James 4:14 says this: "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." It's here and it's gone. As we consider eternity, there are some issues that we need to face. We need to look at this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we love you and we praise you. And God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray that you would be with me this morning as I preach your message. I pray that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Help us to be receptive to your Spirit, your Word. Lord, what you'd have us to see this morning. Lord, that we might be greater servants for you. Be with all those who aren't here this morning for whatever reason, God, those who are traveling. We pray that you would give them traveling mercies and grace. Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused on you. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Again, as we consider this topic of eternity, there's several issues that we need to see and understand and face here. Now, I want to step back and stop for a second. This very scripture that I read this morning from James chapter 4, verse 14, is the exact same scripture that my wife's grandfather preached the day that I walked down the aisle and accepted Christ as my personal Savior. It means a lot to me because I finally realized the questions that I've been asking were answered in this very scripture. I couldn't figure out why life was going by so fast. I couldn't understand why life was changing, why things were happening the way they were happening. And I didn't even ask Amy or I didn't even ask her grandfather, my preacher, but when he read this scripture, church, it hit me between the eyes. Life is a vapor. It's here and it's gone. This is really the shortest part of our total existence we'll ever spend. It is. And it's the one that we are attached to most of all. Now, the things that we need to look at as we consider eternity. Number one, I have a love for this life. I do. I have a love for this life, Steve. I don't love eternity. Are y'all with me? I mean, it sounds kind of odd and sounds kind of unusual, but Joe, I have a love for this life that I don't have for eternity. Church, I love my life. I love every aspect of my life, every detail of my life. Miss Porter, listen to this. I think you'll enjoy this. I love to get up first in the morning and look at my wife while she's still sleeping. I do. I love to see her roll over and see me looking at her and smile as she says, "Stop it." I do. I love it. I love after not seeing her for a day or two, she'll walk into the room and watching her face light up when she sees this old bald head. I do. I love the way her hand fits in my hand. Perfect. Y'all have never noticed that, have you? Her hand fits perfectly in mine. Y'all know why? Because God made her for me. He made her perfectly for me years ago. Now, I'm only 13 days older than you? Something like that. But, I mean, her hand fits perfectly in mine. I love hearing my children laugh and going to most of their activities. I do. Not all their activities. I don't like going to those sports banquets. Those things drive me. But I enjoy that. I love that part of my life. I love coming to church and seeing all of you. I love serving the people of God that God has brought me to serve, even though it's hard sometimes. I love that part of my life. Church, I love my life and do not love the thoughts of eternity. I don't. Are y'all with me? Now, I know that I'm not alone. I know that many of you feel the same way that I do. So why is it that we love this life so much and we don't have the same exact love for eternity? We cling on to this life. We build up temples in this life. We hold treasures in this life. Why don't we have that same love for eternity? Scripture says, do not build up treasures in this life, but to build up treasures where? In heaven, where the moth doesn't eat and the rust doesn't take. Listen, why is it? We're showing our fondness and we're showing our true affection to what we really love. And that's this earth and this life and our bodies and our relationships here. Did I mention this is the shortest existence we're ever going to spend? Right here. This is it. Now, why is it that we don't have the same love for eternity? Well, I believe there's a couple answers. Number one, we fear the unknown. We do. We're absolutely afraid of the unknown. Now, Brother Kyle, I'm not afraid of the unknown. Okay, well, I tell you what. Let me blindfold you, take you downtown tonight, and I'll have you stand in front of a doorway, and I'll tell you to take a step. In downtown Savannah, we'll go to one of those caves that's underneath, you know, somewhere. I'll let you take a step. You'll be scared to death. We have a natural fear for the unknown. Let's face facts here. Eternity's a long time. It is a very long time. Can any of you give us a number to equate eternity? You cannot. It's forever. I mean, I know that if I try to keep my body healthy and cancer doesn't invade my body, I might live to 75, 85 years old. I mean, that's a good long life. I know that. But at some point, my life is going to end. We're all going to die. I mean, from that point on, Keith, eternity we are going to spend somewhere. That is just an extremely long period of time. Another fact is this. When we die a physical death, listen to me, some of y'all have problems with this. Y'all don't get it. You can't get this through your head. We are not coming back from the dead. We're not. We will be in eternity. When we close our eyes, take our last breath here and take our first breath wherever we're going to be, you're not coming back. I mean, I've heard some stories of old codgers where they buried money in mason jars. Why? Well, they didn't trust the bank. I don't trust the bank either. But, you know, they buried monies in their backyard. And I just wonder if they thought at some point in time if they were going to sneak back from the grave. They didn't tell anybody where it was. Brother Kyle, you're crazy. No, I'm not. Did y'all not hear a few weeks ago this couple was walking their dog and they looked over and they saw something shiny on the ground and they uncovered it. And it was a can of, I think, gold dollars, old gold dollars. And they were worth like $10 million. And now somebody's saying, well, you know, that was ours. It was stolen, blah, 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 blah. I wouldn't have told anybody. Y'all listen to me. If I find $10 million worth of gold coins, I'm not telling anybody. There's not going to be a news story. Y'all going to see something, a strange smell at the Waddell house because I'm burning those. What do you call it, Keith? I'm smeltering those things. I'm making a gold bar. Anytime somebody finds something, somebody else tries to take it from them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But all these people are hiding these riches. You're not coming back. When you die, you're not coming back. We're not coming back. And honestly, if you're in heaven, you don't want to come back. You really don't. And we'll get to that here in a second. We have very little knowledge of what eternity holds, other than what the Bible tells us of two possible destinations. Did you notice that I didn't say three or four or a holding chamber? You know, our Catholic brothers and sisters try and tell us there's purgatory. Can you show me where it is in the Bible? There's no such place. There's no such place. There's one of two possible destinations. Church, if we believe the Bible is true and the literal Word of God, there are only two possible places that any of us will spend eternity. The first possible destination is heaven. I always like to talk about the good before I talk about the bad. Now, Scripture gives us, like I said a few minutes ago, it gives us very little details about heaven. But let me tell you a little bit about what it does say. It says that in heaven, there's water that is crystal clear coming from the throne room of God. I know some of you older people here, that y'all used to have wells. Did anybody still have a well? And in the front yard or the backyard, you used to drop that bucket down in there, didn't you? And you used to pull it up. Now, did you run it through a filtration system? No. You drank right out of that, right out of the dude, right out of the bucket. I mean, some of you probably were, you just drank right out of the bucket. Miss Shirley probably did, didn't you, Miss Shirley? And it was fine. Can we do that nowadays? No. You'll get sick. You'll die. Because our water is so polluted nowadays. Everybody dumping stuff in the ground and dumping stuff in streams. But not in heaven. I can't wait to see that pure, crystal, clear water. When I was a boy, we used to go to the mountains every year pick blackberries and blueberries. Boy, I don't miss that. We'd have to pick for 3 or 4 days before we could go grass skiing. See, anybody ever gone grass skiing before? Y'all heard of snow skiing. We used to grass ski on the grass. Had a great time. But we had to pick blackberries and blueberries and get chiggers all over our bodies before we could do that. But I remember going swimming in those crystal clear streams. They'd pull up at the bottom and there was a sign around the edge. Miss Lisa, it says, do not under any circumstances go swimming in this pool. And we thought it said, please go swimming in this pool. But it was cold. It was ice cold. Oh, my heavens. But it was crystal clear, pure water. That's what the water is going to be like in heaven. Scripture also says this. The tree of life that bears 12 different kinds of fruit each month is there. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I can't wait to see it. It says there's no need for light or candles because heaven is forever lit by the presence of the Son of God. We're not going to have to walk around and turn light switches on. And brother, hey, listen, I don't know how it is at your house, but I walk around the house, Corey, turning light switches off. I wish I had a pre-recording, Dan, of turn your light off. I mean, so I wouldn't have to say it. I'd just push a button. Go back to your room, turn your light off. Because I say it over and over, turn the light off in the bathroom. Well, why? Why do I have to do that? Well, I guess you're not concerned because you don't pay the power bill. But in heaven, heaven is lit by the presence, just the very presence of the Son of God. Scripture also says this. Scripture tells us that heaven is a place of no mores, no more crying, no more tears, no more sorrows, no more pain. I'm looking forward to that. I'm just in my 40s, and I wake up from time to time, and I'm just like, man, this doesn't feel like it did when I was in my 30s. You know, I'll go running, and the next day my leg is about to fall off, you know. And I see the gradual progression of some of you senior saints of how you struggle with aches and pains. Miss Shirley, she left. She bugged out on us Wednesday because she said her leg hurt. Now, I don't know if she was telling the truth or not. I think she just wanted to go home and go to sleep, but I know she was really hurting. But our bodies aren't meant to last forever. Scripture that I've used many times in the past 2-3 weeks is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says this, it says, "But it is written, no eye hath seen, nor ear hath heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for the ones who love Him." We don't have a clue. Again, Scripture gives us very little knowledge about where we're going to spend eternity. In heaven, we just don't know. But we know this. It's greater than anything we can come up with in our eyes and our minds. It's absolutely unbelievable for those who love Him. For those who love Him. Church, this is but one of the possible destinations to spend eternity, heaven. Now, the other possibility is a place called hell. Again, I must reiterate that Scripture only gives one of two places we will spend all of eternity. Well, Pastor, I don't believe that God would send man to a literal hell. That doesn't mean you're going. That doesn't mean you're not going. I don't believe in hell. That's not going to keep you from there. I don't believe that a loving God would send somebody to hell. You're exactly right. He wouldn't. You decide and you choose to go there on your own. And you are right. You're right. Listen, I can tell you that I believe in a place called hell because Jesus repeatedly warned those as He was preaching about a literal place called hell. Now, there's certain people when they come up and talk to me, Caleb, I'm not going to listen to them. I'm not going to believe what they have to say. Everybody's got one in their family, don't we? Some of you got two. Some of you've got three. When they come up to you and they tell you, you don't have a clue, you don't know whether to believe them or not, Heather. But when Jesus says that I believe it, and Jesus preached on a literal place called hell time after time after time in Scripture. As a matter of fact, listen, He preached more about hell than He did about heaven. Why? He wanted to keep people out of there. It was a bad place. It still is. Luke 16 records of a man in hell begging for just one drop of water because he was in such torment. Hey, let's sign up. Let's get a sign-up sheet. Anybody want to go? No. He was begging for one drop of water, just one. Please give me one drop of water because he was in such torment and pain. So, Brother Kyle, what's it like in hell? You know, I really don't know. I've never been and I'm not going. I like air conditioning. I do. I don't like the heat. We don't turn the heat on in our house very seldom. I like the air conditioning. I'm not going to this place called hell. But let me just tell you shortly, real quickly, what Scripture does say about it, about hell. It's a place where the fires are never quenched. There are 14 scriptures, references to the actual factual fires in hell. So yes, I believe there are actual factual fires in hell. And if there's fire, guess what else there is? Smoke. You know, It makes me sick to see all these people, friends of mine and people, you know, that y'all, I can't wait to die to go be with my buddies in hell. Have y'all ever heard somebody say that? You're not going to see them. The smoke is so thick you'll never see them. If you were standing right next to them, you could not see them. The smoke is so thick. You couldn't see right in front of your face. Not only that, I mean, it's got fire, so it's got smoke, and what else does it have? Heat. You cannot get away from the heat. How many of y'all, I don't know what, it's a natural fascination with boys when you're growing up, campfires. Am I right? Brother Jim, when you take the boys camping, you have to keep your boy to get your hands out of the fire. We're making s'mores, you got to burn about 3 or 4 marshmallows first, don't they? What is the have you ever taken your hand and, you know, put your hand over the fire, you know, through the fire? Corey's over, yeah, I did that last night. There's some sort of natural fascination. How long can you keep your hand over the flame? Not very long. Listen. That's man-made fire. Man-made fire. How much hotter are the fires in hell? I can imagine a whole lot hotter. But listen, they weren't made for us. It wasn't a fire made to keep us warm. It was a fire made for Satan's destructive angels and demons. It wasn't made for us. If you go there, you choose to go there. Now, what else is there in hell? Well, the Scripture tells us it's a place where the worm dieth not. The Greek word for worm here is skolex, which means a special kind of worm which preys upon dead bodies. Very similar to or it could be indeed maggots. Now, you know, there's different animals when I go to the zoo I look for. I love to go and look at the apes. Amy loves the gorillas and the apes. We sat there when we went to the Riverbank Zoo up in Columbia, and we sat at the window for I don't know how long watching a gorilla. I think he was making a move on my wife. I really do. I mean, he would not leave the window. I think he even winked at her one time. I don't know. But I love animals. I love the eagles. When I got there, I mean, I even liked the snakes, looking at the snakes, you know, from a distance. But you know, it was kind of strange. They didn't have a maggot exhibit. Susan, they didn't have a maggot exhibit. You know, there weren't lines of children going into the store up at the front of the zoo wanting to get a stuffed animal of a maggot. You know, I've never heard of a child. Growing up, I've heard of, you know, some strange pets. I had a girl who had a pet possum when she was growing up. Yeah, that very clean. They clean themselves very. I mean, but it was funny. You say bang, and it would, you know, it act like it was dead. I knew people who had goats, and we had a goat. We had chickens. Emily had a duck for about 3 days. I know people who've had fish, and I know people who've had turtles. I even knew somebody who had a squirrel. We had some people up in Kentucky. They had a pet skunk. They had the stinker taken out, of course. But they had a pet skunk. Never in my life have I ever gone to somebody's house and said, "Hey, Pastor, come here. I want to show you my pet maggot." Never. Why? Because it is a disgusting, vile, nasty animal. Scripture says that there are maggots in hell, where the worm dieth not. In and out of your skin. You can't kill it. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to sign up for that tour. I don't want to go there. And I don't have to go there, and neither to you. You don't have to go there. I'm just about done. Listen. A person who is in hell will spend an eternity. Can we equate that? An eternity. Eternity in hell. Being tormented with fire and maggots and all the filth of humanity who has ever, ever, ever lived. Listen to me, church. Listen to me tell you who is in hell. There's murderers, rapists, drug dealers, pedophiles, sexual deviants, kidnappers, crooked politicians. And there's a lot more going there too. There's wife beaters, there's pornography peddlers. With all you'll be there with all of them if you choose to spend eternity in hell. Now, this is an easy choice for me. It really is. I don't know why people struggle with this. Gidget, I don't know why people have a problem with this. I really don't. Listen, I'll take the river that flows out of the throne room of God over no water in hell. I mean, think about it. Crystal clear water that flows from the throne room of God or no water in hell. Oh, I think I want to go to hell. I mean, there's not a decision there. Gary, I mean, is this hard? Listen to this. Listen. I'll take the tree of life to eat of 12 fruits instead of worms that are eating me when I'm in hell. Tree of life, I get to eat. Or in hell, I am eaten. Anybody having problems here yet? struggling with the decision? Listen, I'll choose the place where there is no more darkness over the place where it's so thick with smoke you cannot see your hand in front of your face. I'll choose to live with the saints of God and the Son of God and God Himself over spending eternity with the scum of humanity, the demons of hell and Satan himself. Church, I don't get it. What is the big choice here? Why are people straddling the fence and saying, well, I just don't know. I don't know about this God thing. I don't know about this eternity thing. We're talking about eternity. We're not talking about a few days or a few weeks or a few months. Or, you know, if you're in jail, you can go to jail and you can get a life sentence for murdering somebody. And if you're on good behavior, they might let you out after 15, 20 years. There is no good behavior permit that gets you from hell to heaven. It is forever and ever and ever and ever. Brother Kyle, you're hitting it awful hard. Do you understand? I don't think there's people who understand. They don't get it. They don't want to get it. Why this sermon? Many of us have made our choice for Jesus and gone about living and loving life. Listen, we're safe. We're Christians. I've got my ticket. We want to go to heaven, but we don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about eternity. Church, when we put it out of our minds, we're no longer thinking about it. What is the problem with us taking care of just ourselves? Church, what about our neighbors? What about our family members? What about our friends and our coworkers? Well, they're not my problem. According to Scripture, they are. We're to be a witness to them. Church, we have a definite need to ponder on eternity way more than we do embrace the life that we live. We need to spend time thinking about eternity. It's where we're going to spend most of our existence. This morning, where are you going to spend eternity? I can't answer that for you. I can answer it for me. Where are you going to spend all of your eternity? Are you concerned as to where your friends and neighbors, co-workers and families and people you work with will spend eternity? Are you really concerned? Church, we need to get busy. We need to get busy with what God has called us to do, warning others about where they're going to spend their eternity, asking them. Why is that such an evasive question? Why is that such a hard question? People we love, where are you going to spend eternity? Do you know for sure where you're going to spend all your eternity? That's an important question, isn't it? We need to start asking it. Let's all bow our heads. Father, we love you and we thank you for this day. God, I pray that you would be with us right now. You'd open our eyes and I pray that your Spirit would move. Help us, Lord, to see the need to reflect on eternity, to let us know how close we really are to eternity and how long eternity is. God, that we might be of greater service to you for all the lost world who's around us. God, I don't think we'd take some things that we see so callously if we'd focus on the extent and the length of all eternity. Be with us now during this time of invitation. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, will you please stand? Do you need to come?